The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... I'm E.G. Marshall. Time, said Mr. Henry David Thoreau, is the stream in which I go fishing. That's very well put. However, when one goes fishing, one can never tell just exactly what one may catch. When one fishes in an ordinary river, one may throw back what one doesn't like. But where may one throw an unwanted catch from the river of time?
Darling, I'm home. Is supper ready?
Supper?
I'm in a hurry. I have to go to the meeting.
The meeting? Luther, haven't you just come from the meeting?
I've come home for supper.
But you've had supper.
When?
Before you went to the meeting.
But I haven't gone to the meeting yet.
Oh, how can you say that? Professor Tomlinson just called and said you made a brilliant speech.
What time is it?
10 o'clock.
It can't be. It's only 6.
No.
Agnes, what... what happened to the last 4 hours?
Our mystery drama, Pie in the Sky, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Sam Dan and stars Bob Caliban and Terry Keane. It might have been. Yes, as the poet said, these are the saddest words of tongue and pen. How many of us can say, it might have been? Of a road not taken, of a door not opened, of a question never asked, an answer never given. All of the missed opportunities. Would we really have been better off in the long run? Our story takes place not too long ago, and the mind of an elderly gentleman named Luther Temple is musing over the very questions we have just posed.
I don't know. I could have been a millionaire, a billionaire, a trillionaire.
Luther.
What is it?
Are you talking to yourself again?
Who? Me?
Well, I'd like to know who else might be sitting in the room.
I never talk to myself.
Yes, dear.
Why don't you go inside and... fix us a cup of tea.
You just had a cup of tea.
Well, then let's have a cup of coffee.
Coffee? Why?
Agnes, look out the window. Tell me, what do you see?
Oh, my goodness, Luther. It's a rainbow.
Well, then we have to have a slice of pie, too.
You'll spoil your appetite for dinner.
Can't be helped. We have to do it.
Why do we have to do it?
Because that's what it says to do in the song.
What song?
The one everybody's singing on the radio these days. Just around the corner, there's a rainbow in the sky. So let's have another cup of coffee and let's have another piece of pie.
Oh, Luther, what am I going to do with you?
Well, if after more than 50 years of being married, you don't know, what's the point in asking?
Pie and coffee. All right.
A good woman. But if I had become a millionaire, a billionaire, would I have stayed married to her? Most of the folks who become very successful, well, what's the point? Now, you may be asking, what's this millionaire, billionaire, trillionaire talk? Well, listen, you'll see. I think it began one day back in 1907. Yes, yes, 1907.
Agnes? Agnes, will you come in here, please?
Yes, Luther, dear. What is it?
That noise. That abominable noise. Where's it coming from?
The parlor.
What's it supposed to be?
Darling, I bought it this morning. It's a phonograph. It plays music.
That screeching, wailing, caterwauling? That's music?
Of course, darling. Can't you follow it? It's really a lovely tune.
Oh, please lower it.
I'll shut it off.
No, leave it on.
No, it bothers you.
I'll just have to put up with it, I suppose.
Martha's cleaning in the parlor. Martha, please stop the machine. There now. Better?
Much better.
Darling, I want to talk to you about money.
Yes?
The money my Aunt Minerva left me.
Well, it's your money, dear.
No, darling, it's our money. Now, what should we do with it?
Do you have to ask? Put it in the bank.
The bank?
Do you realize that the bank pays you as much as 2.5% interest?
That much?
Do you realize that at that generous rate, you will actually double your money in precisely 40 years?
No, I hadn't looked at it that way exactly.
But what did you have in mind?
Oh, the stock market.
The stock market?
Now, please, Luther, it was just a thought, just an idle, fleeting, vagrant thought.
Well, darling, as I say, it's your money.
Oh, we'll put it in the bank. Now, let's forget about it.
Agnes, where's my pipe?
Are you going to smoke your pipe?
Well, I've become kind of used to it.
Oh.
I admit I started it because I hoped it would make me look older. Well, after all, I do seem young to be a professor of mathematics, but I find I rather enjoy it. However, if it bothers you...
No, please, go ahead. Light up.
Where is my pouch?
Your pouch?
Yes, a special pouch I bought in which I keep my tobacco. It's dark brown.
Well, I'm sure I haven't seen it. Could you have left it somewhere?
Could I? Well, let me see. Oh, of course. Oh, I remember now. I was at the faculty club. I'd better go get it.
You'll walk all the way over to the faculty club just to get some tobacco?
Well, I need the exercise.
But look outside. It's pouring rain.
Well, I'm certainly not going to melt.
And so, I remember I walked over to the faculty club. And the steward had my pouch. Of course, he gave it to me. As I was about to leave, Professor Tonneau came in. I tried to avoid him, but too late. He saw me first.
My dear Temple, how are you this perfectly miserable day?
Quite well, Professor, but if you'll excuse me, I have a most pressing engagement.
But I cannot excuse you. Oh, you look chilled, drawn, peaked. Come, for the sake of your health, you must have a hot punch. Steward,
but Professor,
two club specials for Professor Temple and me. Now, sit, Professor. Sit.
My wife is expecting...
Congratulations. We must drink to the new arrival.
No. She's not expecting a baby. She's expecting me.
Won't she be happier to know that you are sitting in the club, cozy and warm, rather than battling the cruel elements outside?
Well, how could she know that?
Rest assured, my friend. She knows. She knows. Talking about your wife, I understand she has come into an inheritance.
You do?
Yes, and may I offer a word of good counsel?
I really must be going,
nonsense,
Professor.
Nonsense. The hot punches. Steward, set them down. Thank you. A toast. I give you this newly born, freshly minted 20th century. A time of unbelievable upheaval, as well as fantastic opportunity. What do you think, my friend?
Upheaval? Things seem to be settling down nicely all over the world. Well, thank you for the drink.
You haven't finished it.
I really shouldn't, you know.
Talking about your wife's inheritance, do you have any plans in that direction?
Yes, we have agreed to do the prudent thing.
Yes, I know, and place it in the bank. But is that prudent?
Well, how can you deny it, Professor?
One must move with the century.
Where?
Wherever it leads us.
Assuming that's true. Where is it leading us?
Look about you. In the street. What do you see? Every day, more and more of those horseless carriages.
Contraptions of the devil.
Why do you say that?
Well, who but the devil could devise machines that emit such foul-smelling fumes?
They will require, I admit, some getting used to.
If the Almighty had intended for us to drive about in machines, would he have created so many millions of horses?
Plans for this world, from whatever source, are constantly being revised. I intend to place my money in horseless carriages.
Horseless carriages.
There's a company being organized to produce these things which deserves some attention.
If you don't mind...
It's called General Engines.
I really must be going. What was that?
A burst of thunder, a streak of lightning, what else? Now, as I was saying...
But I'm
this
overdue.
This company will manufacture these horseless carriages. And actually, the name will gradually disappear from our language. You will call them... automobile.
I will call them instruments of the devil.
Company is being organized now. It requires financing.
From the gullible, of course.
Stock is selling for mere pennies a share.
And it isn't worth the paper it's printed
on. According to present projections, the stock will be worth a fortune by 1928.
Projections made by whom?
By people who have foresight. Now, it is estimated that an investment of $1,000 today will be worth well over $7 million in less than 3 decades.
Professor, I have been detained long enough. I simply must be getting home.
Soaked to the skin. Oh, get those wet things off and I'll make you something hot to drink.
I've already had something hot to drink.
Yes, I smell it on your breath. Oh, Luther Temple, have you been indulging in spirituous liquors? How did that happen?
I don't know how it happened. I ran into this fellow, Tanneau, Professor Tanneau.
And who is he?
He's new.
What does he teach?
Oh, let me think. Physics. No, that's not quite it. Metaphysics.
What's that?
Oh, that's new, too.
Well, what's it about?
I don't know. It has something to do with the mind, I suppose. Oh, wait a minute. Did you tell him about your inheritance?
Why would I tell him? How would I tell him? I don't even know him.
But he knew about it.
How could he know about my inheritance? We only received the letter from her lawyer this morning.
Did you mention it to anyone at all?
Of course not. Did you?
Well, I hadn't been out of the house all day until I went to the club just before.
Well, you must have said something about it to this professor... What's his name?
Tanneau. But I know I didn't.
You might not have been aware of it.
How could I have not been aware of it?
Well, there's no other explanation. How else would he know about it?
But...
Dear, look, why don't we forget it? We'll only become bothered and overwrought, and it'll all be for nothing.
Oh, I suppose you're right.
But, talking about the inheritance, I received a telephone call from my brother George.
Oh, George.
Do you know what he said he's going to do with his share?
Something foolhardy, no doubt.
George is really very sensible sometimes. Now, he's going to take his $1,000 and invest it in the stock market.
Which means he is prepared to kiss it goodbye.
This friend of his has some inside information.
There's always inside information.
This is a stock that must go up.
It must? According to what law?
According to the imperative of the coming century.
Which is?
This is to become the era of the horseless carriage.
Oh, no. No, please, no.
The stock is called General Engines. It's estimated that in less than 3 decades, an investment of $1,000 will be worth over $7
million. What did you say?
That's what my brother told me.
No doubt, but who told him? Certain information is being bandied about. Well, tips on the market can certainly circulate over a wide range, but other information. How, for example, did Professor Tanneau know about Agnes's inheritance? More to the point, who is Professor Tanneau? We may find out in Act Two. Is it all a matter of fate? Are there people who are born to become rich and other people who are destined to remain poor? For some people, is opportunity a vision and for others is it merely an illusion? Ah, well. Happy is that man or woman who, knowing his or her fate, accepts it and makes the best of it. Sometimes.
Yes, like the song says, just around the corner there's a rainbow in the sky. So let's have another cup of coffee and let's have another piece of pie.
Now, what are you muttering about, Luther?
Oh, me? Nothing. Nothing at all. Oh, that coffee smells good. So does the pie.
Well, it's baked fresh.
You know, I estimate, in the course of our married life, 47 years, you serve me a cup of coffee and a piece of pie at least once a day. That would make it, let's see, 365 times, 5 times 7, okay, 17,155 times.
I always did have a head for figures.
Oh, I had an eye for them, too. Yours was the prettiest in town.
Now, the pie isn't the only thing that's fresh in this house.
Agnes, do you remember your Aunt Millicent's inheritance?
Aunt Millicent's inheritance?
Yeah, she left you $1,000.
Did she?
Back in 1907, yes.
Oh, that was such a long time ago.
She remembers. She remembers very well. She also remembers what she wanted to do with it and what I said we shouldn't do with it. She listened to me. Yeah, she always did. She still does. And she never says, I told you so. Well, hardly ever. Oh, I remember that night long ago in 1907. I'd come back from the faculty club where I'd forgotten my tobacco pouch. Was that when it all began?
More pie, Luther?
No, thanks. No, this is fine. Well, I think I'll light my pipe and smoke for a while, if you don't mind.
It's your house, too, Luther. What is it?
It's funny taste to this tobacco.
Well, I should imagine all tobacco would taste funny.
It doesn't taste bad. Just strange. Yeah, different.
Different than what?
From the kind I usually buy.
Well, that's your pouch, isn't it?
Yeah, sure. It even has my initials on it. LT.
Well, I'll go inside and see to the dishes.
Well, I know the smoke bothers you. I'll put it out.
You'll do no such thing. A man's home is his castle.
Isn't that a wife for you? Well, anyhow, later that night we were in bed, asleep, when suddenly... Was I dreaming? Was it real? It seemed the whole house began to shake. I felt as if the bed was spinning round and round.
Luther.
We'd better get out of here.
Luther.
Hey, it's an earthquake.
Luther, what is it?
Don't just lie there, woman. This is the end of the world.
Luther, wake up. Wake up.
What are you talking about? I am up.
Luther, you're having a bad dream.
It's no dream. The walls are closing in.
Luther, please, wake up. Luther, where are you going?
I want to look around. See if there's been any damage.
What are you talking about, damage?
Well, didn't you feel it?
No, Luther. It was nothing.
Nothing? I thought the place would fall apart.
Are you sure you weren't just dreaming?
Agnes, I was wide awake. I tell you, it was no dream.
Yes, dear, if you say so.
It was the strangest, craziest, but it was real.
All right, it was real for you.
Oh, I'll say it was.
Well, it's only 3 in the morning, so go back to sleep.
Oh, I can't. I tell you what, let's do.
I know. Let's have another cup of coffee.
And let's have another piece of pie.
I don't know. I really don't. But things started to happen. What kind of things? Well, it mostly had to do with, I suppose you could say it was time. Like, well, next day I said to Agnes,
Remind me to stop off at Belcher's Pharmacy this afternoon.
Oh, what for?
Well, I have to get this prescription filled.
What prescription?
The one Doc Simmons wrote out.
When?
This morning.
Did you go to Dr. Simmons this morning?
No, you did.
I did.
You said you had this headache and it just wouldn't go away.
I didn't have a headache this morning.
Now, Agnes, I called off my morning classes and I took you to Dr. Simmons. And he gave you this powder and it got rid of the pain like a shot. And I said to him, could we get a prescription for that, Doc? And he said, sure.
Luther, are you all right?
What do you mean, am I all right?
Last night, you dreamed the house was coming apart.
That was no dream.
And now you have this illusion that I was ill and we went to see Dr. Simmons?
We did.
No, my dear, we did no such thing.
Well, how do you account for the prescription?
What prescription?
Well, this one here.
Yes?
Well, wait a minute. I know I put it in my pocket.
No, dear.
Now, don't now dear me. I remember distinctly putting it in... No, no, no. I placed it right on top of the bureau so I wouldn't forget it. Now, here it is.
Oh.
Yes. Oh?
Well, he may have given us this prescription some time ago.
Uh-huh. Oh, look at the date. Today.
Well...
Yes?
He may have put down the wrong date. After all, doctors are only human.
I still say we went to see him this morning.
Oh... Yes, dear.
But I'll tell you what happened. The very next morning I woke up. I looked at Agnes. She had a pained expression on her face. I became alarmed.
Oh, I have this terrible headache.
Oh, wait a minute.
I tried taking everything for it, and nothing helps. Maybe I better see Dr. Simmons.
But you went to see Dr. Simmons yesterday morning, remember?
How can I remember something that didn't happen?
And he gave us a prescription.
Oh, Luther, I feel so bad.
And I filled it for you at Belcher's drugstore.
Luther.
And it's in the bathroom, in the medicine cabinet. I'll get it for you. Agnes, what'd you do with the prescription?
What prescription, Luther?
The one we got from Dr. Simmons.
We didn't go to see Dr. Simmons.
Well, I distinctly remember.
I think we'd better go now, Luther. I feel terrible.
Well, now, Aggie, this'll do it for you every time.
Oh, thank you, Doctor.
Luther, you take this prescription and fill it. Next time she gets one of those headaches, give her some.
Yes, Doc. Tell me...
Yes?
Are you sure that we weren't here yesterday?
Yesterday? I don't recall.
Luther.
I could swear. Take my oath in court that... We were here this time yesterday morning, Doctor, and you gave me this exact self-same prescription.
Is that a fact?
Yes.
Tell me, Luther, what are you smoking these days?